Welcome back to Exploring Boys Education, a regular podcast produced by IBSC for leaders and educators in boys' schools around the world. After the IBSC newsreel, I'm joined by South African IBSC member school colleagues Chris Kingsley from Hilton College and Chris Oldknoll from Pretoria Boys High School. We're also joined by Chester Koyana, the Managing Director of Sport for Lives, an organization that believes sport has the power to change inequality. Sport for Lives uses the vehicle of sport to activate generosity within a community by facilitating opportunities for individuals and teams to play a greater purpose. But before we explore how sport in boys' schools can be used to give boys a greater purpose, I'm pleased to be joined once again by IBSC Executive Director Tom Batty for the IBSC Newsreel.
Thanks, Bruce, and a warm hello to all tuning in. In this episode, Bruce will be speaking with Chester Koyana from Sport for Lives about initiating generosity in boys through sport. Joining Chester and Bruce are Chris Kingsley from Hilton College and Chris Oldknoll from Pretoria Boys High School, both member schools in South Africa I had the privilege of visiting earlier this year. At the time of this recording, the IBSC annual conference is but 2 weeks away, and excitement is high for the conference and, of course, for Euro 24 in that order. One is guaranteed not to disappoint. I'm looking forward to joining those travelling up on the hill at Harrow School for another global gathering as we share and learn how common themes manifest across the rich IBSC diversity of regions, cultures, and school systems. It's a powerful brew. Between annual conferences, IBSC connections have remained strong. Across the 2023-24 IBSC season, we've seen over 730 members from 15 countries participate in 30-plus IBSC events. I also note that our latest global research project is up and running, and that we recently launched a new IBSC special interest group, Research in Boys' Schools, coordinated by Peter Coutis of Hales School, Australia. Like the coming gathering at Harrow, both have attracted excellent numbers. Thank you for listening to Exploring Boys' Education each month. Listenership over the season has been strong, and we trust that this platform keeps you engaged in the work of our coalition. Chester and the two Chrises, thank you for sharing your insights in this episode. Bruce, you won't say it, but in handing back, I can. Thank you for the wonderful work you do in keeping us connected with all IBSC offers, with issues relating to boys' schools around the world, and, of course, with each other. Over to you.
As we all know, sport is really important in the lives of many boys, particularly in the boys' school environments, and adds just a real dynamic to how boys experience their schools. And I think in terms of the holistic education of boys is also important. But it's really wonderful to be speaking about another angle today, and that's how sport can facilitate an opportunity for boys to be generous with their lives, to see the world around them for what it is, and to make a difference and to have a greater purpose. And I think connecting those dots is really important. So I'm so pleased to be speaking with Chester Koyana and Chris Kingsley today. And later on in this episode, we're also going to connect with Chris Oldknoll from Pretoria Boys High School. Chester is the MD at Sport for Lives, which I'm sure he'll speak more about now, but it is an initiative that connects boys who do sport to opportunities to make an impact in the world. Chris Kingsley is a staff member at Hilton College here in South Africa, and Hilton recently hosted the South African IBSC conference, and that was a wonderful occasion. But Chris is also on the board of Sport for Lives. So it's wonderful to be speaking to the two of you now, and obviously to Chris Oldknoll later, who's also spearheading initiatives at Pretoria Boys High School in conjunction with Sport for Lives. But maybe we could start with you, Chester. It would be wonderful just to hear a little bit more about you. So Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then Chris can share a little bit about his role at Hilton and his passion for sports as well.
Thank you, Bruce. Sure. What a pleasure to be with you this morning. Really appreciate your time. My name is Nedok Oyana, but also known as Chester. Got a big background in rugby. I had the privilege of playing SA schools and representing the country at junior World Cup level, and Sharks under 20s. After an injury, I coached the Sharks Academy for a couple of years, and I think that's where my love for mentoring and helping young men step not just in the field but off the field in terms of the outlook in life. In 2020, middle of COVID, a dear friend, Chris Kingsley, who we go way back. Chris taught me at Selborne College, and even then as a teacher, he was one of the coaches who really just instilled in us the ability to look outside of ourselves. Chris was really good in terms of just helping us to ground ourselves and really just focus on those around us. So, 2020, he called me up and he said, "Chezzy, I've been running Tries for Lives at Hilton, and we're really looking to grow and really get other sports codes involved," and hence the name Sport for Lives. And he felt that I'll be the right person to join him in the team. And what a joy. And we kicked off in 2020 in terms of my role. And fast forwarding to 2023 last year, I'm full time now. And as you've mentioned, Bruce, I've got the joy and privilege of being MD of this incredible movement. And that's me in a nutshell.
Chester, as I hear you speaking, I'm just blown away by, you mentioned the fact that Chris taught you at Selborne, which is another IBSC member school. But it just speaks to, so often in IBSC circles, we speak about the power of relationship in boys' education. And, it just strikes me as a great example of how when teachers build into the lives of boys, amazing things can happen even beyond the school space. So, Chris, I think that's a good segue into you as a staff member at Hilton College.
Thanks so much, Bruce. Really appreciate it. And thanks for having us on your show. Always love listening to it as well. So, it's incredible just to think back. I think it was about 22 years ago that I first met Chester as a schoolboy. Just so proud of his journey as a young man in an all-boys school, being an example to so many people. And so that's my journey sort of originated in the Eastern Cape. And went to an all-boys school myself, Graham College, very proud of that. But the last sort of 15 years at Hilton College, various roles, housemaster, various teaching roles and different sports codes as well. But I think the greatest joy for me has been more recently heading up the community partnerships of the school and growing that and our impact in the local community and being relevant as a school. Because schools have got such an integral part that they play, not only just for other boys, but in the greater community.
Thanks so much, Chris. Chester, let's dive right in. Why don't you give us some insights into what Sport for Lives does?
Thanks, Bruce. I like to affectionately say that Sport for Lives is Ubuntu in action. We talk about I am because you are, the meaning behind Ubuntu, and we are really trying to instill this in this culture that we live in, in the South Africa that is currently one of the most unequal countries in the world. And the privilege that we have as educators is that we want to help our young men just to realize and understand what this meaning of Ubuntu can look like in action. And so in essence, we use sport as a bridge to cross the social and economic divides in our country. Really encouraging individuals and teams to really play for a greater purpose. And we do this by activating generosity in support for non-profit organizations or under-resourced schools in the various communities that campaigns will be running in.
Obviously, as I mentioned in my introduction, sports is a great sort of motivator of many boys. But why is sports a good vehicle for boys to get involved in outreach, in going beyond themselves, in making an impact in their communities and seeing the needs in those communities?
I think in our South African context, it's so important. Obviously, listeners from around the world have different contexts, but you know, trying to, I think my frustration as a teacher for many years, I was wanting to get involved in the community, and it wasn't easy to do so. There's a lot of divide and walls and that, and we're busy, all of us are really busy. And so I wanted to try and figure out a way, or we did, in terms of just making it easier to connect in our community with people who are different from us. And so the obvious tool would be sport, because, you know, sport resonates so much with South Africans, especially, and people around the world, obviously. But in our context, it was that. So it's not really about the sport. It is about the sport, but it's actually more than that. And so creating this movement of change, instead of competing in our silos in schools, often you have the sort of the, you know, outreach or community piece, and you have the sport, and you have the whatever, academic or pastoral. What about putting it all together and working together in partnership? And so that's where it came from. So I'm merging the idea where, you know, maybe giving up the odd sports practice to actually go and connect with an orphanage down the road from you. And, you know, getting the kids to come and watch while you play. And that's where it sort of evolved from, to make things practically easier, I think. For me, in my context, when we started this, and there's actually with also a friend at Selborne who came up with the concept, and we sort of developed it into Sport for Lives, was the fact that boys would resonate with it because it gives them purpose and focus. So almost a competitive edge to help. And so we don't want boys to be the heroes necessarily. We don't create more hero mentality and savior mentality, but we want something take deep root that would soften their hearts. That, you know, we don't need a whole another country or world of capitalists alone. We need capitalists with a conscience, compassionate capitalists. And where does that thinking start? That thinking starts as teenage boys in the context of wherever they are. And so trying to just gently shift that and have conversations around that is what Sport for Lives really does. It's this tool that can be used. One of many tools, but in our context, it seems to be working. It's growing all the time as a movement. It's not starting another nonprofit. I don't think every school needs to start a nonprofit. It's utilizing what's in the community that's doing effective work already, harnessing that good work and supporting that and partnering with that, and then getting the boys at one school to really have that aha moment and connect, you know, and that is created. We can share about that a little bit more later.
We've seen, particularly in the rugby space, you know, how sport has been such a bridge. And again, when we talk of the context of South Africa, you think of the moment of Madiba and Francois Pienaar with the William Webb Ellis Cup. And just how many people speak fondly of that moment and how it brought a nation together. And so really our heart is that, how do we educate, you know, our boys, you know, in our schools, to realize that in your own community, you can bring and add purpose to your play. And really just making sure that it's not just about the victory at the end of the day, but like we keep saying, that we're spreading the love, we're making it a bigger family. There's more that we can do, you know, as a team in terms of supporting those who are in need around us. And so that's really what we're trying to achieve with Sport for Lives.
So Chris, you have a unique perspective in a sense. You know, as you've been involved in the school space and in the Sport for Life space, how have you seen sports activate generosity and a sense of purpose in boys?
We've seen a journey that boys undertake in this process of softening their hearts. So it's not a quick fix. Much of our sort of stance, I suppose, around the country and the world is are quick fixes. But really, it's the long term. That's why it's a movement. And so when a boy comes in at 14 and is questioning a lot of the world and trying to find their place in the world, to see that develop to a matric boy or young man now taking initiative to start initiatives and just to see and notice the world around him, that's the beauty of it. And you know, being a teacher yourself, you would have seen that and experienced that. So, you know, I just think one or two examples from that would be of this journey. You know, when it started, was that we did it was under 15 rugby team, and we decided to play for a purpose, and we took them to Tundi House, the local orphanage. In fact, I googled in our community nonprofits, and this came up, and we went there. And so the boys were pretty shocked at why we were there, didn't understand why we were there. But I took them on a journey in terms of the bigger purpose in sport. And I remember the one boy tapping me on the shoulder in the bus on the way back and saying to me, you know, as a 14, 15-year-old, saying, listen, he wants to play for this one boy who was in a wheelchair, who needed a new wheelchair. And the penny dropped for him early on. Others maybe later on in their journey. And that season was amazing. It was just phenomenal how the parents and the boys took to it. You know, at halftime, I'd say, guys, why are we playing? I'd remind them in practices while they're playing. We would go and visit often. We built this authentic relationship. So it wasn't about the money, and I think that's a key piece to this part. It's about the journey of their heart. And so just at the end of it, the season, when we celebrated, and yes, we made a, you know, good couple of hundred thousand rand for the orphanage, but it was the fact that, you know, the parents' involvement, you know, challenged the parents. So the boys were challenging the parents. They brought the conversation to the fore, where actually as adults, we need to be talking about the real issues in our world. And often we don't do that. So I just loved that part of it. And then, you know, from there, it was more than just that one season. It led to some parents doing swimming lessons for the orphans, or, you know, doing gardening services. And then the best part of it was this journey was that in under 15 and under 16, and when they got to open rugby, they did it themselves. They didn't need me. It was a tool that they used in that. And then one of the boys also went on, you know, after school and did it. So it's essentially, it's that journey that we've seen a couple of times through the process of it.
You know, it stands out for me that giving in terms of finances is important, but I love the fact that that's not the most important thing, because if we change the way boys see the world and they develop a sense of empathy, the difference is going to be ongoing beyond school. And so I think that's the key thing. You know, Chester, how have you seen this building of empathy, boys getting a bigger sense of the world? Are there some examples you've witnessed as you've been involved in many programs across the country here in South Africa of how boys have grown in their sense of meeting the need in the world?
We found that campaigns that do really well often is where boys would have had an experience, perhaps in a family, maybe somebody, a family member has had cancer. And so the cause that they're playing for is maybe a children's hospital where children are affected with cancer. And so really the boys would put a lot of emphasis on that. But I really want to just share an example of a current initiative actually done by Peter Maritzburg College Boys. They've partnered with Kenosis Community Center just outside of Maritzburg. And the captain of the first team there, his name is affectionately called as Rambo. And so I interviewed him after walking around Kenosis, and I could see even during the walk that he was really impacted by being in the space, you know, seeing the children at this orphanage, playing with them and introducing himself, and really just really invested in that space. And so I've watched him play a couple of times, and just past weekend against Hilton, they had a really good game, and I had a chat to them after the game. And yeah, he was just sharing with me just around how, you know, as a young boy who grew up in similar, you know, circumstances, it's been a real big privilege for him to be able to add value, you know, to the young children at Kenosis by literally doing what he loves best, you know, which is play rugby. And, you know, it's that kind of thing where we are trying to connect, you know, the holistic part of these young boys' lives in terms of, you know, I can make a difference where I come from. I'm not isolated from my people or my community, you know, so this is what it's all about. And that's how the bridge can work. And then up at Pretoria Boys, I had the privilege of actually going through to the organization that the boys are playing for. And, I met up with the lady there, and just really she was walking me around, and she was really just so encouraged by the work that these young men are doing. And she just kept on referring to the fact that it's wonderful to see young boys growing up in a culture or environment where they're being taught to do more than this for themselves. And I believe that that's where that empathy and growing in empathy is going to come from. And that's part of the reason why we do believe that it's important for us as a culture to make sure that we bring in purpose into play.
I love that. You know, Chris, you also shared that beautiful story of that boy who tapped you on the shoulder in the bus and wanted to then moved in early part of the journey to buy a new wheelchair for a boy. Are there some other examples that you can share of how participation in the program at Hilton, in the outreach program, particularly in the realm of sport, has changed a boy or maybe a team's perspective off the field?
Absolutely. There's several. So, you know, just back to that, the original story, what is amazing about that too, because often people say, oh, no, if you could distract a team because you are, you know, you're focused on this giving peace. But actually, the contrary happened. They actually won a whole lot more games because they had a purpose, a clear purpose. We all need purpose, right? This purpose gave them more meaning to their win. So I just think back to, you know, maybe another incredible example was this boy in grade 9, whose dad is actually a Springbok, came and knocked on my door when I was house mastering, and he said to me, "Sir, listen, I want to do a 24-hour swim for an orphanage as well, and you know, this is why I want to do it and need something to him." So the beauty of this is that, you know, that boys can initiate these things. And that it's not a staff member dragging a team or dragging, you know, the individual there. And so the more one sees other boys doing it, the more they want to do it as well, for all their own reasons. And as Chester said, a personal reason is probably the most important thing. And it's their personal story that often comes through. It's not just another giving thing that you want to just sort of give to. So this boy, he went, I said to him, he needed to go and spend some time first with the kids at this orphanage. And he did this, and his mom messaged me and said, "Listen, something's changed in this boy." And that night at the supper table, after he went to go and just hang out, he said, "Mom, Dad, you know, I don't actually want to get any big Christmas presents. You know, Mom, Dad, do we have to go on such big holidays? You know, can we even adopt one of these kids?" And so for a 15-year-old, for him to notice and to see through experience was the key. And so really just a challenge to schools doing programs is that we have to experience. We have to go walk across the road. We can't just, you know, do the civvies day or the collecting of old clothes or the whatever. We have to move the heart by building relationship in the community, not doing it for something across the country or the world, but in one's community. That's how we're really going to change the nation. And so what happened from there was that this boy then initiated a 24-hour swim. As a grade 9, he got some seniors, and they did it the first year, and they raised a lot of money, which is great, and it helped a lot, and the parents were involved throughout the night. And then what is amazing is that when he got to matric a couple of years later, he did the same thing. That was actually last year. And he did it again, 24 hours, not easy. It was also in winter. And the whole team came out, the water polo team, and really, it really moved them. You could see something had shifted in them. And then what came from that was a 24-hour tennis for lives. And so there's been a lot of these types of stories, but it's, you know, it's the conversation around the table with the families that are the most important take out there. So, yeah, been lots of those at Hilton, a good couple. And I think the best part of it has been now recently this year, the Hilton College hockey team didn't even chat to me about it. They went straight to Chester and they initiated their own campaign up the road, the project that they're trying to build to flushing toilets just for a school that doesn't have any toilets. So it's this practical element, which I think is so exciting, that it's the heart emotional shift, long-term seed that we're putting in, but it's actually a practical piece to it, no matter how small. It doesn't matter how small the amount, it's just something practical.
And ultimately it's about the lifelong learning, is it? You know, as boys' schools, if we say we are educating the whole boy, then this kind of social piece, noticing the world around us and having empathy for the world around us is a huge part of boys finding their purpose. So, yeah, I love that you share that. You know, Chester, talking about purpose, in your mind, how would you say that sports-connected outreach programs deepen that impact on boys or give them a deeper sense of purpose?
Just got a wonderful example that I'd love to share with us, because this is one of the things where, you know, often it's not just at the school sense, but once the boy left school, it's where you really see, you know, the fruits of some of the lessons and the move, the conversations that a Chris would have had, or anybody else who's an educator around the different schools. And so, these three young men, 3 or 4 years out of school, they are based in Cape Town, and they basically started an organization called Get With It. And, you know, between the two campaigns that they've done, they've been able to raise up to 700,000 rand. Mm. And this is all because of the journey that they've had in terms of understanding their place in the context of South Africa, you know. And so the hardship that you see these men, these young boys, you know, stepping into has been so encouraging for us, you know. And like Chris mentioned early on, we want to see, you know, young men growing as empathetic leaders in the future, you know, as guys that understand their place in society and how they can come alongside those who find themselves on the margins.
I'm struck in this conversation. We've been speaking a lot about a South African context, but what really strikes me is I think this, you know, anywhere in the world, a program like this could take root, because, you know, every school finds itself surrounded by need in some way. How has Hilton College integrated this approach into their existing programs? And, you know, how might this work practically in other places around the world?
The great thing about it is that the boys, as I mentioned before, they're the ones who can take the initiative. And as adults, we can guide them. So, you know, often, you know, I hear this from people in our context, probably around the world too, where we don't know how to give, we don't know where to give, we don't know why we're giving, we don't know who to trust in that process. So what's interesting, what Sport for Lives does as well, is that they vet the nonprofits in the community first. It's not just a normal, it's not just a giving platform where you just go and randomly give, but actually vet them carefully to say, sure, okay, this organization is doing really, really good work. And so a lot of schools in the world and in South Africa, they have great partnerships with existing nonprofits in the community, which has been set up, and that's wonderful. And we encourage that because that's really a model that works. But what we found in our travels around the country, visiting lots of schools, is that many, many schools don't. They don't have, and they just sort of shoot from the hip, and they don't have that relationship. So I think that starting point and finding one or two nonprofits that really function well is key to this. And so it's this tool, Sport for Lives, is just one tool. That's not the silver bullet, but for boys, it works. And interestingly, it's actually been used at 4 schools in the UK. And they've started campaigns too. I'm not sure if I'll share that with you. And definitely the concept is a global concept. I think activating generosity in any community, essentially it's down to kindness, and it's down to cultivating this empathy you're talking about and the compassion. And so that doesn't have to be, you know, to poor kids in Africa or in South America or Asia. It actually is about changing our kids' hearts in the process. Often our focus is on the other, but an effective community partnership would actually be about how it shapes our boys.
Tessa, I'm excited that you know, Sport for Lives is working with a number of schools, and a number of schools are in the IBSC network here in South Africa. And one of those schools is Pretoria Boys High, and it's going to be great to get Chris Oldnall, who's the deputy head in charge of sports at Pretoria Boys High, to share some of their experience. And so we're gonna head over to Chris now and really learn from what his experience has been in terms of, what did you say, Chris Kingsley, activating generosity in boys? I love that.
So my name's Chris Oldnall. I'm currently the deputy headmaster at Pretoria Boys High School. We came across Lemon Tree Kids, and so these are children who are battling or fighting for their lives, battling osteosarcoma. And just sort of read what the challenges are for the organization. I said, this, for my opinion, this speaks to me. And I guess, you know, it's fine to do something that speaks to you, but I also believe that the boys would want to get involved because it's children. We made contact with them. And, you know, sport's a wonderful vehicle to teach boys the importance of balance, you know, and looking after the body, which we know the mental benefits of exercise are also astronomical. But we've got to be playing for more than that, and we've got to be playing for more than just, you know, the school badge. You're not playing for yourself, and it might sound cliched, and the boys all love to play for the badge and play for the school, but if we could be playing for something even bigger than that, you know, that's something I wanted to try and harness. I think we are a community that look after one another, and I think we're proud of who we are and what we are, and I think it's important for us as educators to teach the future how important it is to uplift anyone and everyone. What we want to do is we want to create an environment where we teach boys to not only think about themselves but to think about others. What I was hoping we would do and achieve and accomplish with Sport for Lives is teaching these boys to be aware of what it is that they have and to get perspective on what problems, you know, what are actual problems versus, you know, what they think is a problem. And this year the campaign is what we call Boys High for Lives. And the reason we've gone for Boys High for Lives is I just, you know, you sit and you look and I'm like, well, we have 16 sports, we have, you know, over 30 cultural activities, we have 10 houses, seven day houses, three boarding houses, 1,500 boys, you have, you know, arguably 3,000 parents, you have old boys, you have 100 staff members. I grabbed that old boy mate of mine, Piet Crowther, who's another champion human being, and we swam from, you know, Blouberg to Robben Island and back to kickstart the campaign. Just to show the boys, look, this is what we're going to do, you know, join us, let's do this thing. And I think we've raised just over 50,000 rand collectively through our staff members who ran the Wally Hayward 5, 10 and 21 through that swimming initiative. Last year's campaign was a little bit more simple. It was, you know, we targeted the hockey and the rugby, and we reached our goal. I also would love our boys to actually go to Lemon Tree Kids and visit the boys. So I also even punted the fact that, guys, we don't have to raise funds. I want you guys to go there and give time, and energy. You know, these children, when you walk in there, you can see what they have. They have next to nothing. But you can go there and you can read a book with them. You can do some maths with them. You can do some science with them. You can do some English with them. You know, they have this they have a little classroom, a little section there where they're doing school work. You know, so I'm not just saying it's about. It's not only about money. I mean, it's time, it's energy. Going over there as a sports coach, just book a bus. Don't practice on a Tuesday. Go there for 2 hours. You know, look, I tell you what's great is when boys come to your office and they say to me, this is what I want to do. I mean, that's what I wanted. That's what I envisioned. Boys actually saying, you know what? I want to do something to make a difference. I've had two old boys reaching out to me as well, which is pretty cool, who are doing, they're doing runs as well. It's sort of October, November, so like those will be late additions where funds will come in, which is fantastic. That's the dream.
So, Chester, I think if leaders in boys' schools are considering bringing a sport for purpose element into their sports programs, you know, what would your advice for them be?
It really starts with the culture in the school. You know, having the difficult questions, you know, and being comfortable with engaging the boys in terms of how they look at society around themselves, you know. So that's a great start, is that let's encourage, you know, the hard questions and having good conversations around how we can grow in empathy for those around us. And then secondly, you know, we have this kind of statement we say is walk across the road. And it's just important to, once that culture of looking beyond oneself, you know, starts to take root, then it's definitely about looking around your community and neighborhood where the support is needed. You know, like we say, it's either an NGO in the area, or sometimes it's an under-resourced school. You know, we've had a few schools really just so encouraged in terms of wanting to support under-resourced schools that they found around their communities. And that's often such a safe space that we talk about, that we need the safe spaces where, you know, young men and boys from different walks of life are connecting and really just bringing about the change that we want to see in our society. And thirdly, I would then encourage people to reach out to us. Our email address is info@sportforlives. .org, and people can literally send an email through, and we will get in touch with them and help them basically go through the process of setting up a campaign, and also giving different ways and ideas of building relationship with those community projects?
The main thing would be that you don't force anyone. You cannot force people to be generous, to be kind, to look outside of themselves. And I think it's human nature to only worry about themselves. And so I think everyone's in a different part of that journey. And one can't judge anyone in that way. So right from the beginning, not everyone was forced to actually, you know, go and ask someone for a sponsorship per try. The positive culture, as Chezi mentioned earlier, is that it's all about culture. So the culture can move people, and you can go on this journey. And so maybe the journey for some people only start when they're 50 or 60, but maybe it starts when a kid is 10, you know. So I think it's important not to force it. If we force anything, then we have a problem. Then you have more hardened hearts and you have an irritation. But actually, at the end of the day, you know, we are doing what's best for our boys as educators and for the community. I just think of our headmaster often mentions how important it is for schools like ours, in every community, probably across the world, that the real beacons of hope is the school community. And so activating that is so much more than just the sport. It's the doctor or the accountant or the lady who gives swimming lessons or whatever it is in the community would come together and partner. And so we wouldn't have these walls and silos of doing things and being intimidated by new ideas and new thinking and creative ways of engaging a community. Rather embrace them and figure it out together. And I think it's so crucial if we are to move forward in society, but also in our schools that have done things well for many years. But the world is changing. And what I'm most excited about as a boys' school educator in an incredible school like Hilton is that I'm excited about our boys and the future of globally, but particularly in my school and in South Africa. I'm so excited about the youth, and they're way ahead of where I was at when I was 14, 15. I was only thinking about myself. I don't know if, Bruce, you were doing all amazing things when you were 14, 15. But the fact that these boys can knock on my door or any other staff member's door across the world and actually start to think outside of themselves and notice the world around them. I'm excited, Bruce.
Yeah, well, I'm inspired.
Bruce, thank you so much for having us this morning. It's been so wonderful to have this opportunity to share with you our journey as Sport for Lives. It's been an incredible few years, and we trust that as the movement continues to grow, we will have many, many boys' schools across not only South Africa, but the globe, taking initiative of looking outside themselves in the communities that they are based in. We have about 30 schools that have taken on various projects around communities here in South Africa. And we just want to say a big thank you to them for partnering with Sport for Lives and willing to take this journey with us in changing people's lives in their communities and where they're at. And a big thank you must also go to Thirsty, who are our main partners on this journey. A lot of what we do would not be possible without them. And so we just really want to say a big thank you to Thirsty, and may they continue to do this incredible work of working and supporting us as we activate generosity across South Africa. Thanks once again, Bruce. It's been wonderful, and we appreciate it and look forward to the next time that we can chat.
I'm sure you'll agree that Chester and both Chris's have reminded us that the playing field is more than just a space for competition. It's a training ground for generosity, empathy, and social responsibility. When boys play for a purpose greater than themselves, they discover the power of sport to transform lives, both on and off the field. And by engaging with their communities and supporting those in need, they learn that true victory lies not in individual achievement, but in collective impact. May these stories inspire us to unlock the boundless potential for our boys and to create a world where sport is a catalyst for positive change. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time, keep on championing boys' education.